lesson 8 tonight. It's going by quick. But when you think about 52 lessons, we've still got quite a ways to go. Good lessons. I've enjoyed and appreciated each one of these, and I appreciate your participation, your thoughts along the way, and that adds to the class, and so we appreciate that. Hope everyone has your book. Does anyone need a book? There's still plenty on the front row if you need those. Hopefully you've had a chance to look at these references, to think about these points that are being made, to fill in your answers and answer these as we talk about tonight the authority of the church. Really, this is a lesson about the authority that the church goes by. The church doesn't have its own authority per se. We follow the authority of Jesus, and we'll talk about tonight how that was revealed and through what instrumentality and so forth. The authority that rests with God and how that authority was revealed. But does the church have its own doctrine? No, that's right, Bernice. Church doesn't have its own doctrine. The church simply is in subjection to the doctrine of Christ, to the teaching of Christ. And so that's one of the things that sets the New Testament church apart from a lot of the religious bodies in the world today, is because a lot of them have their own teaching, their doctrine, and so forth, and that they've devised and that they follow. But the Lord's church isn't that way. We have the doctrine of Christ, the New Testament. And so tonight we're on, again, lesson 8, and we're going to talk about authority. There's been lessons done, I know, at least since I've been here. I haven't taught them, but we've had Bible classes on authority, how authority is established, how to approach a study of the Bible. I know we had a several week long study, I think either on a Tuesday or a Thursday night on some Bible rules when we study the Bible and how to establish Bible authority. We know that typically when we begin a study with someone, what do we usually begin with? A prayer. But topic-wise, our subject, where do we usually start at?
Authority.
With authority. Well, why is that the case? Why would it be that we sit down with someone and we talk about authority at the beginning of a Bible study?
You have to establish what is
going
to guide you through your study.
Yeah, that's right.
Just going to say, you've got to have something that that both people are willing to say they're going to appeal to at the end of this. Cause if it's just going to be there's nothing that you're pointing to that you're basing your thoughts on later on, then you're going to be all over the place.
That's right. It cannot rest with me. It can't lie with the person you're studying with on this is what I think and this is the way I see it. And yeah, that's right. And so it's important for us to think about authority. This is not in-depth at all. A lot of good points made, but I would suggest to you to study on authority, maybe get some good material on that. There's a lot of good helps along the way on how to establish Bible authority when you think about example and necessary inference and apostolic example, and to think about those things. But this is just in general when we think about the authority that the church goes by. The first point that is made is a source of authority. Who is the source of all authority? Ultimately, rests with God. When you think about the Scriptures, they were of divine origin. Give me a verse that talks about that. There's several, but you think about in the New Testament, a passage that talks about the Word coming forth from the mouth of God. Yeah, that's right. 2 Timothy 3:16. In other words, it didn't come from man, but it came from God. It was God breathed. And so the will of God has been revealed. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But the source of authority, God speaking through Christ. And these references, we've talked about these before, and it's not going to be anything new to most of you tonight. We think about Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Hopefully you've already looked at these, but what does he state in that passage? What point is made? Yeah. He contrasts. Remember the book of Hebrews is a book about contrasts? A lot of times comparing things of the Old Testament with things under this New Testament, this side of the cross. And he contrasts how God used to speak in time past. But the contrast now is that he speaks to us today through or by his Son. So we understand that. It's pretty simple. The logical question is then, how does that get to us today? God speaks to us by his Son, but what does that mean now that the Son is no longer on the earth and he's ascended to heaven? How does that get to us then? John 1:17. The law was given by
Moses.
The great lawgiver of the Old Testament. Where did Moses get that law? Now, did Moses have authority to command? Over and over you read in the Old Testament, the first five books of the Old Testament, Moses commanded the children of Israel. Where did he get that authority to command? From God. Moses gave the law. But what came by Jesus Christ? Grace and truth. So I ask you the question, without getting so far off the path tonight, was the Old Testament law truth? Yeah, it was of divine origin, right? It was truth. All thy commands or precepts are truth, as Psalmist would declare in Psalm 119. Well, what does he mean then that the law was given by Moses, but, here's a contrast, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ? If the law was truth, what's the contrast? Okay. Remember we talked about this not long ago. We talked about grace. Was grace manifest under the Old Testament? Ever? Remember Genesis 6 when the Bible talks about Noah? But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Remember that grace just simply means undeserved, unmerited favor. That's all it means. Well, yeah, grace was evident under the Old Testament. That's what the Bible says in Genesis 6. But the grace whereby man could be reconciled, be saved from their sins, came as a result of Jesus. That's what Paul writes in Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Right? Matthew 11:27. Someone read that for us nice and loud.
All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal.
So how is God revealed then to man? Through his Son. Two ways in which we can know about God. Two broad ways. You tell me.
Two ways that we can know about God. One is through His creation.
Through His creation.
And then the other is through His revealed Word.
Through His revealed Word. The creation tells us and attests to the fact that there is a divine Creator, but it doesn't tell us one thing about God's plan to reconcile man to Himself. You can't learn that from nature. Now, those things show that there is something bigger than man, and that is God, right? But don't teach us about God's scheme of redemption. Only through the revealed Word can we know that. That's it. In John 4, Jesus made the statement, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me, and to what? Finish His work." Remember that? And so, Jesus taught as the Father gave to Him. God revealed through Christ. John 5:26-27. Authority given to Christ.
pass judgment because he was the Son of Man.
Yeah. Granted him the right to pass judgment. The King James has given him authority to execute judgment. We back up to verse 22. Jesus said, "The Father judgeth no man, but has what?" Yeah. And so God had all authority, right? But he legislated that through his Son, gave him authority. And so what Jesus did on the earth was in line with what the Father desire for him to do. Authority given to him. John 17:7-8, Christ's message from God. Did he speak the things of himself or did he receive them from someone else? Where did they originate? Read that passage for us, John 17:7-8.
"Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you, for I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me."
All these pronouns, "they," is pointing back to who? The apostles. John 17, the first half that he prays on behalf of the apostles, in 20 and 21, those verses, he begins to pray on behalf of all those that would believe on him through the word of the apostles. And again, the point is that Jesus is saying, where did he get the words that he gave to the apostles?
From God.
That's what he says in that passage. Now notice John 12:49-50. Good. Again, did Jesus speak of himself? No. That's the only point that I want you to see here is that God had authority and he gave that authority to Christ and Christ taught. And he's going to talk about in just a moment about the apostles and the Holy Spirit and what role they played. Any thoughts about that? And so when we read the Bible, we don't have to worry about reading the words of men, do we? That this is of human origin?
No.
No. Come over to the book of 1 Thessalonians with me. Notice what the Bible says. First Thessalonians 2 and then verse 13. "For this cause also think we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God," how did they receive the word of God? "Which he heard of us through the preaching," through the word that they were taught. "You received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of" who? "Of God, which effectually," or some versions say effectively, "which effectually worketh also in you that believe." We're to be governed today by the authority of Christ, not Moses, and not the prophets. Those things were inspired, written for our learning, Romans 15:4, written for our admonition, 1 Corinthians 10 and in verse 11. But that's not our authority today. Remember the Mount of Transfiguration? Jesus took three people up in the mount with him. Who was that? Yeah. Peter, James, and John. Was transfigured before them. And they saw who talking with Jesus? All right. Peter had the idea that, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles. One representing each individual," right? Moses, Elijah, Christ. But while he spake, there was a voice from the cloud that said what? "Hear ye him." Now, I suppose the Father could have said, "Hear Moses," but he didn't. Could have said, "Hear the prophets," but he didn't. This is my son. Hear ye him. And so Moses is not our authority today. The prophets are not our authority today. What do you have in Acts 3, 19 through 23? What's the context of Acts 3? Okay. Yeah. Point them back to the prophets. Well, they went to the temple, began to teach the people. In verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of who? Yeah. And then he points back to, again, Moses, and says that Moses said that God would raise up a prophet among the people like unto me, in him, or you shall hear in all things. And who was that talking about? About Jesus. He points out and talks about, this is Jesus. That's what he's preaching to the people. And so again, Peter's teaching that, you know, authority doesn't rest with Moses, doesn't rest with the prophets. They foretold of the coming of one that God would raise up among his people, and it's him that you are to hear in all things. Mark 9, 2 through 8. We just talked about this Mount of Transfiguration. Matthew 17 is an account of that. And here in Mark 9. Hear him. This is my son. Hear him. Again, that's teaching us the authority that Jesus has. And we're to hear him. His authority was contrasted with what the people had heard. I suppose there's all kinds of ideas about what the Lord would state in Matthew 5 and other places. But how's that contrast? How's that worded? This is one of your questions, by the way. You have... You've heard it said of old time. I'd be all kinds of opinions as to what that means of old time. But what's he pointing them back to?
I say.
The contrast. The authority that I have. But I say unto you. Well, that wouldn't mean a hill of beans if Jesus wasn't the Son of God. I mean, what difference would it make? If you were in the audience and here's a man saying, this is what you've heard, this is what it's been said to you. Pointing back to the Old Testament, and so it's the interpretation of what the Old Testament said. I'm not so sure about that. It's a contrast with the authority that Jesus has that rests in Him. And He says, but I say unto you. Now, the religious leaders didn't like that. They certainly didn't believe that Jesus had authority. Right? Remember how many times they would say, Father, or Abraham is our father? Right? But I say unto you. So again, that's the authority that Jesus has. The authority that He got from God, not Himself, but from God. Again, we've already looked at those references. I don't speak of myself, but that which the Father gives me, that's what I speak. 1 Corinthians 9:21. Are we under law today? How would you answer that? It amazes me that we have religious bodies in the world who say that we are not under any law. Where there's no law, there's liberty. Right? And so we don't have any law. Well, read 1 Corinthians 9:21.
To those who are without law is without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law.
We're under the law of Christ. Laws we already talked about when we studied during the first six lessons about the kingdom necessarily implies what? There's government, there's rule, there's reign. Right? There's regulation. We have regulation today in this land we live. Right? Law to Christ. And I think about Galatians 6:2. Bear you one another's burdens and so what? Good. So fulfill the law of Christ. And so don't let anyone ever deceive you into thinking that we're without law today. We're not under the law of Moses. We've been discharged from that law, Romans 7. But we're under the law of Christ, under His rule that's been given to Him by the Father. Christ's authority to be executed through the apostles. This gets back to the question that I asked you, well, what do we do today now that Jesus is no longer on the earth? We're going to get to the question in just a moment. What do we do today now that the apostles are not on the earth? Right? So here was Jesus, given authority by God. He hand-selected how many apostles? 12 men to be with them. The word apostle just means an ambassador, one that is sent. That's all that means. One that is sent. And someone asked you, how is it that Barnabas could be referred to as an apostle? Well, the word apostle just simply means one who is sent. But specifically, the 12 apostles were men who the Lord chose. The Bible says He ordained 12, called them apostles, and first sent them out on a limited commission to the Jews only, and then later on the Great Commission to both Jew and Gentile. Matthew 19:27-28. This again, as you're turning there and someone's getting ready to read that, this is a passage that I'll just confess to you again. I don't think I have a full grasp on this passage, but nonetheless, go ahead and read verses 27 and 28.
Peter answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all, but follow thee, and what shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say to you that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging 12 tribes of Israel.
Matthew 28:18-20. Here's where me and you and others find out how much authority we have. Matthew 28:18.
Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
So who has all authority? Jesus has authority, but then He told the apostles to go out and to do what? Three things.
Teach.
Baptize. And teach. That's what He told them. Did they have authority to go and do that? Sure they did. He just told them to go do that. Did He have authority to command them to go and do that? Yeah, He had authority to do that. Who gave Him that authority? Yeah, all authority has been given to me. Matthew 16:17-19. We'll give it here. We read about the authority that the apostles had that was given to them. Talks about building His church, and then He says in verse 17 to Peter, what?
Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed
Did they have the authority to bind and loose? Sure they did. Now, some versions may say whatsoever you bound on the earth would have already been bound in heaven. But the point is how did they do that? Well, he just said, I'm giving you authority, I'm giving you keys. See, I'll talk about keys opening a door Sunday, the authority to open and to make known. Well, how did they do that? This was just in the Bible class Sunday morning. Through what?
Through the Word.
Through the Word, through the preaching of the Gospel. And so when Peter bound repentance and baptism on them in the name of Jesus for the remission of their sins, he had authority to do that. Right? Jesus commissioned them to go forth and to do that very thing. John 20, 22 and 23. When he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Well, does this mean that people came to them and said, I have a sin to confess to you, and I want you to forgive me, and they maybe did penance or something along those lines? How did they remit those sins? How were those remitted?
Through the Gospel.
That's right. By the way, that's what the word remission in Acts 2:38 entails. A remittance, a remission, a forgiveness, a wiping away. And it was through the Gospel. And so Jesus could rightfully say in John 15:3, you are clean through the Word that I've spoken unto you. The Word makes one clean when one obeys it. 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 20 is another passage. And then 1 John 4:6. Again, all these references talking about what the apostles were commissioned to do, the authority that was given to them to do those things. 1 John 4:6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Remember, the apostles were called in question. By whose authority are you doing these things? Well, whose authority were they doing that? By Christ's authority. Where'd they get that authority? From Christ. And so he commissioned them to do that. The apostles to be guided by the Holy Spirit. I'll put these on screen. They're in your book. Hopefully you've looked at these and already thought, given them some thought. But three chapters in the book of John we've talked about in the past. But I hope I'll commit an entire chapter's memory. You can do that if you want. But just remember John 14, 15, and 16. Are three good go-to chapters where you talk about, where the Lord talks about, sending the Holy Spirit to the apostles. It was to be sent to the apostles, not to the world. The Lord's not talking to me in John 14, 15, and 16. He's not talking to you in those chapters. He's talking to the apostles. You think it's important to know who is doing the talking and who that person is doing the talking to? When you read the Bible? Absolutely. If you don't keep things in context, it gets you all mixed up. You might read in the Bible where the Bible says to Judas went and hung himself, and read in another passage that the Lord said, go and do thou likewise. In another passage where the Lord said, that thou doest go and do quickly. And make the conclusion, they're saying, go out quickly, hang yourself. That's not what he's saying. We better ask the question who he's talking to. John 14:26. The Holy Spirit was going to do two things. What was he going to do? Now, to bring to your remembrance whatsoever things I've told you, and to do what? And then in John 15 or 16:13, God into all truth. Remember that? Bring back your remembrance and guide you into all truth. That was the two things that the Holy Spirit was going to do when the apostles received the Holy Spirit. He's going to guide you into all truth, bring back to your remembrance what things I've said to you. Now, how do I know that the Lord is not talking to me?
Because He's not saying anything to me.
Then say a word to me, right? Never heard His voice all the days of my life, and I won't, so long as I'm on the earth, right? He was talking to them. And so when you receive the Holy Spirit, apostles, He's going to remind you of what I've taught you. We have a tendency to forget things, right? And He's going to guide you into all truth. And then we know from John 16, 7 through 15, that He's come to convict the world through the teaching of Christ. The American Standard Version, I wrote this in the margin of my Bible, it's interesting to me, said that He would convict the world in respect of sin. Well, how was He going to do that? How was He going to convict the world in respect of their sin? Okay. Okay, good. Through the Word, through what they were going to teach.
It's about the law of the land. That's what convicts.
That's a good analogy. Good. It was through what they were going to say. The Lord is telling them, the Holy Spirit's going to come to you. I'm going to send Him from the Father. Who the Father has sent, and so forth. When He comes, He's going to remind you what I've said. And He's going to guide you into all truth. Now, remember in Acts 2, when Peter stood before the people and began to preach about Jesus. The Bible says, when they heard this, Acts 2:37, they were what? Pricked in the heart. That word pricked means cut, stab, pierce. As a result of that, they wanted to know what they had to do. Well, how did they know that they were guilty of having done anything? By the Word. Did the Holy Spirit come down and get a hold of them and shake them and say, you know better? No, it was through the teaching, through the Word, through the law, the doctrine of Christ that Peter was preaching. That makes sense. Someone else may be able to explain that better than I can, and so you feel free to do that. Holy Spirit came through apostolic preaching, or the Holy Spirit came rather, and through apostolic preaching did convict women and men. Very quickly, our time's run out. The preaching of the apostles was confirmed by miracles. They didn't have the Word like we have it. They couldn't flip over and say, now come with me to the book of Hebrews. And so in order to confirm what they were teaching, in order to show that that was the case, that they were who they said they were, what did they do? They worked miracles. Mark 16:20, I believe, is one of the best references for that. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the Word, how? With signs following. And it's already been confirmed. Did they have miracles in the days of the first century? Sure. Why? Confirmation of the Word. Do we have miracles today? No. When you do a lesson on how that we no longer have miracles today, people's eyebrows go up. They say, "Why? You're a Christian? You don't believe God works miracles today?" Those things were given for a time. 1 Corinthians 13. No longer. Hebrews chapter 1 and 2 says that the Word has been confirmed by them with miracles and signs and wonders. Once something is confirmed, you don't reconfirm it. It's already confirmed. Completeness of the law thus delivered. This book is all that we need. If ever someone wonders why we insist on book, chapter, verse, Bible teaching and preaching, it's because
This is all that we need. God's complete, final revelation to man is the Bible, the Word of God. That's it. That's it.
No need in saying, well, when I just get up there, the Lord will lay it on my heart. Not a believer. No. The Lord ain't going to lay anything on my heart. The Word's already been revealed. He came to me last night. You know, that's a fraud. He didn't come to him last night. Right? It's already been revealed in the Bible. 2 Peter 1, 2, and 3, Jude 3, and other passages talk about that. The Word completely furnishes unto every good work. If you know what God would have you to be doing, then you open up the Word of God and you read it. By the way, good works are commanded for who? Who's to do good works? Did I hear another response? Christians, individuals. I challenge you to look that phrase up, good works, and see who it's applied to. Individuals or the church. That'll teach us a lot. Now, we're a little bit over, but let's go through the questions briefly. You have your book. So what is the source of all authority? God, right? Through whom did God reveal His authority? Through Christ. Jesus. Who is to be heard above all and at all times? Christ. How did Christ contrast His authority with that of the Old Testament? You have heard. That's the contrast. Through whom did Christ execute His authority? The apostles. How were the apostles to be guided? By the Holy Spirit. Why did the Holy Spirit come upon the apostles? I told you two reasons, but name three. To guide, to remind, and to convict through their teaching. How did the apostles confirm their preaching? Through miracles. What is the completeness of the New Testament? How complete is it? Fully complete, right? Once and delivered to the saints. And 10, what if it were added to or taken from? What's the consequence of that?